So it's real fucking hot in Florence, South Carolina today. When I got off work, the high was 93. However, it got up to 97 today. The heat on the windshield of my car was so extreme, that the phone mount, the thing that you stick to your windshield to hold your phone, it fell off and hit the button on my car that makes the emergency flashers go off. So the bookkeeper came to my room and she was like, "Hey, your flashers are going." I was like, "Are you serious?" "Sorry, it's been that kind of week." However, this is not a climate change podcast. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
The Travindicator.
Yes, I love it. And I will be your host. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Bishond the Valley of the Dolls, a.k.a. Lil Thanos. In addition, we are extremely excited to possibly welcome to the show. She might be popping in for some comments, some commentary, and she will go by the name of Chelsea Brown. Chelsea Brown. Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, "Watch, Chop, Retrofit." Because essentially that's what we do here on this podcast. We watch older movies and then we hypothetically recast the main roles with contemporary actors. Is that right?
Who are at the height of their powers.
They are at the height of their powers. And we're not really being serious. We're not really in favor of remake, reboot, dependent culture. We're really trying to be a little bit funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
Yes, we do. So, with that, we will go ahead and go into our first segment, which is going to be movie news. Movie news is a segment where Sean and I, we use a Brillo pad to scour the internet about movies and movie news and things that our listeners might find interesting. So, off the top, we got to do RIPs, right?
Yes.
All right. So, first off, rest in peace to Machiko Kayo. Machiko Kayo is a Japanese actress. She was active primarily in the 1950s, and she worked with Akira Kurosawa on Rashomon. She also worked with Mizoguchi on Ugetsu, and also with Ozu on the film Floating Weeds.
She was 95, so...
95 years old is a good run.
That's a good run, and boy, she was in some landmark films.
Absolutely. Next RIP is Sammy Shore. Sammy Shore. No relation to Dinah Shore, but he was a comedian, actor. He's the father of Polly Shore. You gotta wheeze the juice. And he was the co-founder of the Comedy Store in... New York, right? It's a Manhattan comedy club. Or is it in L.A.? L.A., Comedy Store, L.A. Yeah. He died of natural causes in Las Vegas at the age of 92. Little background information. He started his career doing stand-up with Shecky Green in the Catskill Mountains, which at the time was kind of like a springboard for up-and-coming comedians. He was chosen in 1969 to open for Elvis Presley's comeback performance at the International Hotel. He then opened for Elvis's road shows until 1972. He continued doing comedy, opening for people like Tony Orlando, Tony Bennett, other people who aren't named Tony, Barbara Streisand, Sammy Davis Jr., and many others. In 1972, he founded the Comedy Store with his writing partner, Rudy DeLuca. In 1974, his ex-wife, Mitzi, M-I-T-Z-I, Mitzi, became the owner of the club, and it launched the careers of people like Rodney Dangerfield, get no respect, and David Letterman, Eddie Murphy, Robin Williams, rest in peace, Jim Carrey, and others, including his own son, Paulie. So, rest in peace, to him. I'm sorry that I had so much more background information about the white guy, but I did more work on that.
It's okay.
Follow-up movie news. Scarlett Johansson is now engaged to Colin Jost. We reported on this earlier, a couple episodes ago. We talked about how I thought that she was dating Jason Sudeikis.
Yes.
And she's actually dating Colin Jost, and they now are engaged. What did we decide that their new nickname is?
Scar Jost.
And so she actually, previously, she dated her Black Dahlia co-star, Josh Hartnett, for about 2 years until the end of 2006. Hartnett said that they split because of their busy schedules. Johansson began a relationship with Canadian Andrew actor Ryan Reynolds in 2007. They became engaged in 2008. They married in September of that same year, but they separated in 2010. They divorced in July 2011, and it was confirmed in December 2017 that ScarJo had begun a relationship with SNL co-head writer. I didn't realize he was the co-head writer. That's pretty cool. And Weekend Update co-host Colin Jost. It was confirmed May 2019 that Johansson and Jost were engaged. So we brought you all of the follow-up, Chop Shoppers. Don't be mad.
Well, you know, we've got another Hollywood couple to talk about.
Who is that?
That's the new Scientology pairing.
Oh, no. They're doing their Scientology mating ritual.
This is The Handmaid's Tale, the reality show.
Yes.
It's Elizabeth Moss and Tom Cruise.
Also, we recently spoke about her.
Yeah.
I believe it was on our most recent episode, the Timothy Oliphant episode, and I was talking about how the main character in Go, Sarah Polley, reminds me a lot of
Elizabeth Moss.
And
what would their couple name be?
Elizabeth Moss and Tom Cruise?
Just keep it at Handmaid's Tale. I would just call it Cruise Control.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'm going to be on board with that. And Chelsea might join us eventually. We'll talk about that. All right. So one more movie news story. They're going to finally turn Stephen King's The Long Walk into a movie. So are you familiar with The Long Walk?
I'm not familiar with The Long Walk.
It's a novel that was published in 1979 under the pseudonym Richard Bachman, set in a future dystopian America ruled by a militaristic dictator. Oh shit, it's getting real. The plot revolves around the contestants of a grueling annual walking contest. While not the first of King's novels to be published, The Long Walk was the first novel he wrote, having begun it in 1966.
Wow, okay.
During his freshman year at the University of...
Maine. Good guess.
That's my main vein. Some 8 years before his first published work, Carrie, was released in 1974. So that's all of your movie news. Chop Shoppers, if that wasn't enough movie news for you, then please email us at cinemachopshop. It's cinemachopshop@gmail.com. We check it regularly. And that will wrap us up on movie news, right, for this week. And that brings us into our next segment, which I believe the phone's going to be ringing right about now. That must be Chief Corrections Officer Dana with the Department of Corrections Department.
All these Canadian shout-outs for Andrew, and then you make all these references to Justified, and no shout-out for your Kentucky-based corrections officer? Whatever. Travis, you were correct. Tim Conway was the voice of Barnacle Boy on SpongeBob SquarePants. Blake Jenner's character on Glee was named Ryder Lynn. I found some info about a pioneering hip-hop/nerdcore/geekster-rap band out of New Jersey called Commodore 64. One of the members goes by the name The Professor MC Squared. I think maybe that's who Sean was thinking of. Pretty savvy, Sean. That took some digging to find. That's all I got. Enjoy your long Memorial Day weekend, and thank you to those who've given their lives in the service of our country.
All right, Dana, we do really appreciate all of that hard work. And I did want to point out one mistake that I made. It's a correction that I'm going to go ahead and make. Maybe it'll get me some time off for good behavior. But I said at the end of the show that Elmore Leonard was also the author of No Country for Old Men, which is entirely not true. It's actually a Cormac McCarthy novel, and I do apologize profusely for that. That will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department, which brings us to the theme of the episode. In celebration of her upcoming 70th birthday on May 26th, this coming May 26th, we're talking about the films of Pam Grier. The films of Pam Grier. How do you feel about her?
Well, you know, she got her break, unfortunately, through the blaxploitation era. Absolutely. Of filmmaking. And her early work was not great.
Right.
However, she has turned herself into an exceptional actress.
And kind of an icon.
Very much an icon, just because of how she got her start and what she had to persevere through. But I think that a lot of her later work is really, really good. I enjoyed her in The L Word.
The L Word. I was going to mention
the character of Kit. I thought she was really, really good in that part.
Very nice.
And she's done a lot of work through the years, transcending a lot of genres, but everyone will always talk about her early works in the blaxploitation,
of course,
women in prison, mm-hmm, type films.
Which we're going to get into on this episode.
Absolutely.
And we should just go ahead and do another disclaimer. We're not actually advocating blaxploitation films. They were a product of the time. We're on the tail end of the civil rights movement and also the sexual revolution. And all of those factors came into play, and people wanted to make money off of that. And that's why these movies came about. So a little bit of background bio on Pamela Suzette Grier. She's an American actress. She was born on May 26th, 1949, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
All right.
Not too far down the road. But she grew up in Denver, Colorado. Shout out to the Gooch. Grier became known in the early 70s for starring in a string of women in prison and blaxploitation films, such as The Big Birdcage, Coffee, Foxy Brown, and Sheba Baby. Also, she was discovered by Jack Hill, who we're going to talk about as well. Grier starred in four of his films, including The Big Dollhouse and leading up to Foxy Brown. She starred in Quentin Tarantino's 1997 crime film, Jackie Brown, for which she received a Satellite Award and a Golden Globe nomination for Best Actress. She's also been nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award. For six seasons, Grier portrayed Kate, or Kit, Porter on the Showtime television series The L Word, which I believe stands for lunatic.
Sure.
Yeah. And it ran from 2004. She received an Emmy nomination for her work in the animated program Happily Ever After, Fairy Tales for Every Child. Tarantino said that she may have been cinema's first female action star, which just says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more bio, but I think that is probably enough, right?
Sure.
All right, so we're going to get into our next segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. This is a fun one where Sean and I are going to go across the table, and we're each going to name two movies that are within the genre, the topic of this episode, which is Pam Grier movies. And I'm going to go first with mine. I went horror style. Horror style. She was in a couple of horror movies pretty early on. In 1972, she was in a movie called The Twilight People, which is directed by Eddie Romero, and I looked it up. He's no relation to the George Romero,
okay,
the zombie guy, but he is a Filipino director,
okay,
which a lot of her early films were filmed in The Philippines.
The Philippines.
Yes. All right. So Twilight People, Eddie Romero also directed Black Mama, White Mama, Brides of Blood, and The Mad Doctor of Blood Island. It's got no score on Rotten Tomatoes, but a quick summary. While diving, Matt Farrell is kidnapped by Neva Gordon and Steinman and taken to an island where Neva's father, Dr. Gordon, is experimenting to try to make a super race by combining humans and animals. So we're really getting into an Island of Dr. Moreau situation with this one. It is not a recommend unless you are specifically trying to pair it with my next feature, which is called Scream, Blackula, Scream. It is the sequel to Blackula, starring the same actor. And it was directed in 1973 by Bob Kellyan, K-E-L-L-J-A-N. He also directed Count Yorga, Vampire, and The Return of Count Yorga. This film has a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, but don't let that mislead you. It's actually a pretty decent movie. This is a horror sequel from the director of Count Yorga. A member of an American voodoo cult revives a fanged prince, Manuelde, played by William Marshall. He's Blackula. Only to become his slave. Manuelde then puts the bite on his various victims. He put the bite on them. He finds himself fixated on Pretty Lisa, played by Pam Grier, a voodoo princess whom he believes can finally put his soul to rest. So wow. That's going to be my double feature.
Okay.
It's going to be Twilight People, in which Pam Grier plays Panther Woman. Mm-hmm. She's got a supporting role. She's Panther Woman. And then also Scream, Blackula, Scream.
Now, is Scream a recommend from you?
Yes.
You do
watch
recommend
this
it.
One. Yes, okay. It's a recommend.
Cool. All right. So,
but first watch Blackula.
Okay.
And also Black Dracula.
Okay. All right. So I am doing two of the Women in Prison films.
Okay.
The first is... God, which one do I start with? Women in Cages.
Women in Cages is actually it's also a Jack Hill movie, right?
No, it is not a Jack Hill movie. It's not a Jack Hill movie, but these guys had to have been cohorts.
Contemporaries.
Because it was filmed in the Philippines. It was filmed with the exact same set as my other film that I'm pairing it with. The same cells, the same prison guard desk. One of the characters that will be in one of our later recasts, the actor was in It in a different role.
In the movie It?
No, in a different role in the movie.
It Follows.
No, the one we're going to be talking about later.
Okay.
So, Women in Cages. This is what IMDb has for the description of the film. American women prisoners in a foreign country, period. Sex and action, period.
You should not say the word period because not only is it offensive to menstruating women, but also it's become a catchphrase amongst the youth.
So it's essentially the same film as The Big Dollhouse, which is my second film. This is a Jack Hill. It is a Jack Hill film, and beautiful women prisoners are abused in a Philippine prison until five of them plot an escape by taking the evil female warden, played by Pam Grier, hostage with the reluctant help of two male fruit vendors.
Fruit vendors?
Yeah, they get into the prison and they kind of like trade fruit for favors.
Okay.
Actually, I'm remiss. This is not the one. Pam Grier is the warden in Women in Cages.
Okay.
She's part of the group of five. Look.
It does get confusing when you watch a lot of these early Pam Grier blaxploitation films.
Look, it's extremely confusing because these are essentially carbon copies of one another. They just swap out characters. As a matter of fact, Judith Brown and Roberta Collins are in both of these films.
Gotcha.
as well as Pam Grier. So you get a lot of crossover, and especially if you're like us, you watch them within the week of the show. They blend together. There is no distinction between these films whatsoever.
It's just shades of black. So
these are not recommends.
They're not recommends from you. Okay.
No.
All right. So speaking of Jack Hill, it's time to get into the recast. This is our first feature segment in which we take a feature film from the repertoire of one Jackie Brown, excuse me, Pam Grier, and we talk about how we would hypothetically recast the main actors and actresses in this movie. Is that right?
Yeah, and of the prison women in prison films, I think this one has the better story, if you can qualify
it. Does have a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I don't understand.
We're talking about The Big Birdcage, which is actually the sequel to The Big Dollhouse. The Big Dollhouse came first. The Big
I wouldn't call it a sequel.
It was very similar.
Well, yeah, like I said, they all blend together, but these are different characters, different situations.
Directed by Jack Hill, he also directed Foxy Brown, The Big Dollhouse, and Switchblade Sisters.
Oh my God.
So a character named Blossom, played by Pam Grier, a buxom bad girl, is the rough and ready girlfriend of a radical guerrilla leader, Django, played by Sid Haig. Sid Haig, we'll talk about in a little bit. She would rather keep her relationship a secret, but also knows that it's a quick start to a leg up. And so they devise a plan to liberate the inmates of a local women's prison, where the inmates are kept barefoot and subjected to brutally hard labor. Is that a good synopsis?
Yeah, and I guess the other plot that's critical to the story is Anitra Ford's character, Terry, is a... she's an American in the Philippines. She's sleeping around with high-powered politicos, and she finds herself in this prison. And
she probably pissed off the wrong politico.
Early in the film, she crosses paths with Sid Haig's character, Django, and of course they later reconnect in this when Blossom finds herself also in the women's prison.
Did she sharpen a bobby pin in this one?
I don't think so.
Or is that in coffee?
I think you're thinking about coffee.
Yeah, coffee. Okay, so speaking of the characters in this that we are recasting, we've got Pam Grier playing Blossom. She was 23 years old at the time. We've also got Sid Haig, who is in The Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses, and the upcoming Three from Hell.
Wow.
A bunch of Rob Zombie movies. But he was also a staple actor in these exploitation, blaxploitation movies. Then we've got... Oh, sorry, he plays Django. Then we've got Anitra Ford, who's playing Terry. She started out on The Price is Right.
Oh, wow.
She was a model on The Price is Right. She's also in Invasion of the B-Girls, and she was in the 1974 movie Wonder Woman, not as Wonder Woman, but as a character in that. Then finally, we've got the role of Warden Zappa, who is played by Andres Centenara. Andres Centenara was in Genghis Khan. He was in Bride of Blood and the Kobe Bryant story, Black Mamba.
And to call this guy's line delivery stilted would be an understatement.
For sure. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start with the role of Blossom. Sean, I want you to go first.
Okay. I went with someone who is 21 years old.
Okay.
She's from Los Angeles, California. And she was in The Hunger Games. She was in Everything.
What?
She was in The Darkest Minds. And she was in The Hate U Give.
Yeah, I have her later.
Amandla Stenberg is her name.
Yeah, and she's really good. She's almost a perfect Pam Grier.
She and you know, face value, this girl carries herself with a lot of power and poise. And
sneak preview. Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
I'm gonna use her later. I'm gonna chop her later. Chopper. All right, so my actress, you son of a bitch, is. All right, so she was in, she's 29 now. She's in Two Dope Queens, which she's also the co-founder of and co-creator of. She's in The Crimes of Grindelwald, and she's also in a 2019 episode of The Twilight Zone. Her name is Jessica Williams.
Oh, nice.
Jessica Williams is going to be my Pam Grier.
Is that character. Her real hair?
Yeah,
that is
for sure.
Badass.
For sure, yeah. She's a badass. All right, next up, we've got the role of Django, or Django. They call him Django in this, but I think it's Django. Played by Sid Haig. Sid Haig, of course, we already mentioned, has been in a whole bunch of Rob Zombie movies. I will go first this time.
Go for it.
We're just going to switcheroo. All right, so my actor is 30 now. He was in Superbad. He was also in Kick-Ass 1 and 2. And he's in a movie called Neighbors. His name is Christopher Mintz-Plasse. Christopher Mintz-Plasse is going to be my Django.
That's great.
Yes.
Obviously, the casting of Sid Haig was meant to, I guess, somewhat sensationalize because it's an interracial relationship.
Right.
Even though it was sort of normal, but still.
Sid Haig is also kind of ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah, but he white. Anyway, so I did a race swap on this one just because I felt that that was kind of played out.
If it deserves it.
If it were going to be a remake, it would make more sense to have someone else.
A black dude.
So this guy was in Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
He was also
in... Did he play Dre?
No. He was also in Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't know. And
Is he on Atlanta?
Not that I know of. He was in Selma, and he was in Sorry to Bother You. It's Lakeith Stanfield.
Lakeith Stanfield is the man, dude. He's also on Atlanta. He's the shit.
That's right. He is on Atlanta.
Yes.
So
He's the one who's from, like, Nigeria, but he's an American.
So I think he would be awesome.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. I love it. All right. So, oh my goodness. We are welcoming to the Chop Shop our special guest, whose name is going to be Chelsea Brown. Nice. Chelsea Brown is in the house, and you are going to provide commentary.
Yeah.
We're not going to say color commentary because of the theme of the episode.
Yeah.
But you're going to be here to be our hype woman.
Sure.
You're going to be a hype woman.
Mostly I just came for the free trivia answer.
Absolutely. Okay, so where are we, Sean?
You're going to give us your pick for Sid Haig's Django.
No, I already did.
Oh, you already did.
Yeah, that's Christopher right, Mintz-Plasse.
Now I'm the one getting confused by the order. Well, then we're going to jump over to Terry.
Terry, played by Anitra Ford.
Yes.
Who we also already mentioned is on very early episodes of The Price is Right. She was a model on The Price is Right. And so I'm going to go first because mine is on fucking point. She was in Tron Legacy. She's also in Rush. She was on a TV show called Vinyl. And she's in one of those mumblecore movies called Drinking Buddies. Her name is Olivia Wilde.
Very good.
And there's nobody else who could play this part.
That's a very good pick.
It's very face value.
Identical.
Yeah.
I
think it actually might be her. I think she might be a vampire.
I pick someone
who might be a Blackula.
Stop it. I picked somebody who's 30 years old, and she was discovered by a modeling agent.
Okay.
So got a connection to Anitra Ford in that regard. From Morocco, she was in the awful Age of Dragons film.
Mm-hmm.
She is in the...
Wait, the movie's called The Awful Age of Dragons?
No, it's just called Age of Dragons.
Oh, okay. I
just
said because that it would awful. Be awful, though. Like in a whole age where there's dragons?
She was in a season of Jane the Virgin.
I like that show.
She was also on a season of Young and the Restless.
Nice.
But, Young, Restless, Jane the Virgin.
But she was also on NCIS. Her name is Sophia Pernas.
Oh, okay.
Sophia Pernas.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of a Sheryl Crow thing going on.
You said she's from Morocco?
This distance.
Yeah. I once rode a camel in Morocco.
Well,
well, you are Moroccan that story out.
I just like to tell everyone.
All right. So next up, we've got the role of Warden Zappa. Warden Zappa was originally portrayed by Andres Centinara. He, like I said, he was in Genghis Khan, Bride of Blood, and Black Mamba. And Sean, you're going to go first with your Warden Zappa.
Awesome. So he was 58 years old.
Correct.
I'm going with somebody who was also 58 years old. And I would say is probably a hell of a lot more menacing than this guy. This guy was not very threatening.
Interesting.
But this guy is. He was in Training Day.
Yeah.
He was in Alien Resurrection.
Uh-huh.
He was in Clear and Present Danger.
Harrison Ford.
He was also on the TNT show The Closer. But most people know him from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul in the role of Tuco Salamanca, Raymond Cruz.
Okay.
Raymond Cruz.
Tuco. Also, that show is pronounced The Closer.
The Closer?
The Closer.
The Closer.
My phone doesn't want to cooperate.
Yay, technology.
It must have been a really hot day. All right, so my Warden Zappa is only 50 now, but he looks like he's older because he's been rode hard and put away wet. He is 50, like I said. He was in a movie called Killing Them Softly. He's also in Star Wars Rogue One. He's in a movie with Ryan Reynolds called Mississippi Grind. And he also has a part in the recent Captain Marvel. His name is Ben Mendelsohn. Ben Mendelsohn is
like
going to be my Warden Zappa.
I like that. That's a good one.
All right. So,
not a recommend.
This movie? Yeah, no, it's not good. I watched it, and the movie made my lovely wife, Michelle, go to bed.
Yeah.
Is this the one with all the screaming?
A lot of screaming.
Yeah, lots of screaming, but not as many as Scream, Blackula, Scream. It's about time to go to intermission, but before we do that, we have to say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves some coffee.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under-reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it and multiply.
A Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show, don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. We just had to take care of some business.
In the house.
In the yard. And when we come back from intermission, we like to do a beer check-in. And Sean, you've got an on-theme beer for us today.
This week, we are going to be drinking from Palmetto Brewing, Espresso Porter. Espresso Porter from Palmetto Brewing. And while we pour that up, let's go ahead and get into our 2019 movie marathon.
What have you seen this week, sir? First of all, it is the 144th day of the year.
I'm on 167.
Jesus, dude. Yeah. You're 23 ahead.
I hit a stride this week. All right, so
I just caught up this week.
I am chomping at the bit to talk about Brightburn.
Yes.
It was released
yesterday. Out today, yes.
Well, technically, it was released yesterday, but it is not a great movie, but in my opinion, it is the Kal-El story that we deserve.
Okay. What would really happen if your alien child had superpowers?
Yeah, I've never understood Superman and why he chooses to altruistically protect a race, a species that seems hell-bent on self-destruction.
Maybe he's just a good guy.
He's a really, really, really good guy, because otherwise there's no point.
You might say he's a Superman.
I guess, but if you're a angsty, alienated teenager, and you just
alienated.
And you just find out that you have these powers and that you're not human, and you kind of have mood shifts like a teenager does, you get this movie.
All right.
It's violent. It has got some kind of graphic elements that I found really good. We've got Elizabeth Banks in it. We've got Pam from The Office's original fiance. That actor.
Daryl.
Daryl.
Maybe.
And then you've got... No, not Daryl. No. And then you've got Badger from Breaking Bad. He's in it as well. And... I liked it.
You don't want to mess with the Badger.
I know a lot of people will probably not like this film, but just because I've always questioned the Superman mythology, it appealed to me.
Very nice. All right, so I'm going to go for my first one today. It's going to be number 135. I finally saw Shazam! Shazam!
I enjoyed Shazam.
I did too. Sinbad really gets a bad rap, especially due to the Mandela effect. Official review is thoroughly enjoyed this one. Best post-Nolan DC film.
I really, really enjoyed this, and I'm a big fan of the original Captain Marvel. That is the character's name.
Shazam, yeah. They had to change the name because Marvel Comics came out and sent them a cease and desist.
Not true.
No? What happened?
So here's what happened. This came out, Captain Marvel came out from Fawcett Comics. Incidentally, the name of the high school in the film is Fawcett High School.
Ah.
As a nod.
I don't think that's incidental.
It was intentional. anyway, it was a competitor to Superman. It was obviously a riff on the Superman character. But the cool twist was it was a kid.
Yeah.
Who could turn into a superhero yet still maintain the mentality of a kid. I thought that was a very clever thing to do, and it's always carried through on the character. But anyway, starting in 1953... DC Comics started suing Fawcett Comics, saying that you're infringing on Superman, and that lawsuit carried through until Fawcett finally gave up in 1971, 72, in which DC bought out Fawcett Comics.
And so they now owned the title Captain Marvel.
And Shazam. So from that point forward, he became marketed as Shazam, and they stopped calling it
because Captain of the Marvel. Conflict of interest with Marvel Comics.
Yeah,
or and, their own character.
Well, just Marvel in general, and then that Captain Marvel character that everyone knows from films, that was in the mid-70s that came out.
Okay.
So anyway,
it's very convoluted.
It is convoluted, and I can't give away one of the big spoilers of the film, but it does create a problem because it was also called the Marvel Family.
Oh.
And a lot of those characters have Marvel in their names.
So what did you think of the family aspect of Shazam?
I loved it, and I loved the positive message of family.
What about Adam Brody?
I thought it was fine.
I thought he was great. As the older version of the young comic book nerd kid.
Yeah. I loved the positive message about foster families.
Yes.
I thought that was very, very good.
And the foster dad was really convincing too.
I shopped him for one of our roles.
Oh, really?
I don't think I chopped him, or maybe I did.
All right, well, I will go next. My next check-in is number 139, and it is called Alexander the Great. From 1968. And this is actually filmed as a TV series pilot in 1963, but never picked up. Later, the star power of William Shatner, Adam West, and John Cassavetes would warrant it seeing the light of day. So it's basically your classic or classical story of Alexander the Great, but you got Captain Kirk, you got Batman, and also John Cassavetes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really good. So I saw a post on Reddit where a guy said that he had the opportunity to interview William Shatner, and William Shatner credits this performance as his inspiration for Captain Kirk.
That's so cool.
It's super cool.
By the way, this beer is not bad after you get past the explosive nature.
Yeah, it tastes good.
I wouldn't know. I didn't get any.
I didn't think you liked
it. Do you know why they call nuns nuns?
You've told me this joke.
So what is it?
They don't get none.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Oh.
All right. So next up for you, Sean.
Oh, well, we'll count Shazam as one of my check-ins as well, since I kind of took over yours. But my final check-in, you may remember in the Oliphant...
It's not your final.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
is it? This is
yeah I said yeah. Count Shazam as my second.
Oh, okay.
Edit point.
I checked in River of Grass a week ago. It's a Kelly Reichardt film about the hard luck people who just couldn't get their shit together.
I'm pretty sure you talked about this on last week's episode.
Yeah. So I'm going to check in a follow-up film. This is from 2008, directed by Kelly Reichardt, and it stars Michelle Williams. And it's called Wendy and Lucy. And it's Wendy and Lucy. Wendy is a girl who is on her way to Alaska to go work at a fishery.
Of course she is.
And she's passing through Oregon.
Yeah, boy!
With her dog, Lucy.
Oh, okay.
And Kelly Reichardt has a knack for depicting down-on-their-luck women in a believable way. Michelle Williams teeters on the brink of despair this whole film. And
that's kind of her thing.
Pretty much holds her shit together. Well, there's another Kelly Reichardt movie to follow this up that also has Michelle Williams in it, but it's set in 1845. It's like a pioneer film. And so I'm looking forward to trying that. I can't remember.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and tell you about my last check-in for today. It's number 133. It's called The Haunting of Sharon Tate. The Haunting of Sharon Tate. Hilary Duff plays Sharon Tate in this.
How was she in that role?
And she is the sixth actress to be cast as Tate since 2016. Six times. People have been cast as Sharon Tate in the past 3 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, have you seen any actual Sharon Tate films?
No.
Really?
No, I have not. Despite a strong performance from Hilary Duff, this adaptation of the story is a bit uneven. So that will wrap us up on the 2019 movie marathon for this week. And we're still enjoying the... not as foamy now, espresso porter from Palmetto Brewing. handcrafted in the great state of South Carolina. How may I help you? So what is the other one that we're going to drink?
The next one that we're going to check in eventually is from Epic Brewing. I believe they're in Colorado. Yes, Denver, Colorado. This is Son of a Baptist.
I thought that the brewery was called Son of a Baptist.
No, it's Epic Brewing. Son of a Baptist coffee stout with cacao nibs. By the way, I think Sharon Taint would be a great name for a roller derby character.
Sharon Taint?
Yeah.
Is that...
It taint Christmas, it taint New Year's. All right, oh, so next up, what do we got? I think it's time to get into the recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Redux.
Redux. All right, so with this one, we've already alluded to it. But we are definitely going to be talking about the better of the two films, which is going to be Coffee. From what year, Sean?
1973, the year of my birth.
The year of our Lord, Thanos, little Thanos. And so...
It's another Jack Hill joint, written and directed.
Correct. And he did a lot of these. But if you look at his Wikipedia, it says... His later films are considered feminist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's interesting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if a film can't define the person. And, you know, I'm sure there are directors who have made films that, for one reason or another, they either regret or they just don't think that that identifies them. Or true. Defines them, rather.
Right.
So, you know.
So Coffee from 1973, directed by Jack Hill. It's got a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's a story of a nurse named Coffee, played by Pam Grier, and she's seen the ill effects of drugs up close. But it isn't until her little sister becomes addicted to heroin that she finally decides to wage a one-person war against the drug trade. And it's a real vigilante story.
It is.
And I very much like that aspect of it. What else do we need to say about the story? Coffee. That's actually the subtitle. It's Burp Coffee.
For what it is, it's a fine movie. I mean, I think the rating may be a bit high on Rotten Tomatoes.
100%?
79%, I think.
You can't get any better than 100%.
But, you know, it should be noted that Sid Haig is in this.
Yeah, he's also in this. Sid Haig. He's all over the place in this episode.
I just picture these characters like on a carousel, like, you know, the director just kind of spins
Jack
it.
Jack Hill just grabs somebody
off
of the carousel.
I'll take you, and I'll put you back and use you next time. Yeah.
All right, so we do have 1, 2, 3, 4 characters that we're going to recast. First, we've got Coffee, played by Pam Grier. We also have Booker Bradshaw playing Howard Brunswick. And he is the corrupt politician who Coffee eventually ends up in a relationship with. And he was also in The Strawberry Statement, Goldie Gold and Action Jack, and also Laser Tag Academy.
Oh!
Then we have King George, the pimp. King George is played by Robert Doqui. I'm going to say Doqui. It's D-O...
Capital Q
U I.
Doqui.
It's a capital Q for a double dose of his question mark. And he was in RoboCop 1, 2, and 3. He's also in 2 Robert Altman films.
Oh wow.
Nashville and Shortcuts.
I like Shortcuts.
And he's also in a movie that we've talked about on our End of the World episode, Miracle Mile.
Holy shit, this guy's in everything.
Yeah. And so then finally, we've got one more, Alan Arbus, who plays Arturo Vitroni. He's the, like, mob boss who's interconnected with this.
Now,
whole...
it's been a hot minute since I've seen this film.
Okay.
Was he over-the-top Italian mob?
He's not over-the-top, but he's definitely supposed to be either a Italian mobster or a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
It might be a combination
now
of both.
Now I remember. Okay.
Yeah. Alan Arbus is also the husband of Diane Arbus, the photographer, the very acclaimed photographer, mostly black and white studies. She photographed twins specifically two twins that were the inspiration for the ghost twins in The Shining. Yeah, it's badass. Oh, we got a featured trailer, Chernobyl. Chernobyl.
Dude, you gotta watch Chernobyl.
You have to.
And so Alan Arbus was on MASH. He was also on in The Electric Horseman. And he was in a movie called... Wait, it was a movie with George Carlin called Americathon.
Oh my God.
AKA America-shawn.
Oh my God.
And so let's go ahead and recast these motherfuckers. Pam Grier is first as Coffee. I'm going to go first with my recast. My actress is 20 now. She was in The Hunger Games. She was in Everything, Everything. She's also in The Hate U Give. And the Darkest Minds. Her name is Amandla Stenberg.
The aforementioned Amandla Stenberg. Sorry.
Correct. Hey, all right, so who's your pick for this one?
Great Minds, right?
Yeah, they think alike.
All right, so my pick, let's see.
Or The Darkest Minds.
Pam was 24. This actress is going to be 22 this year. She's from Philadelphia.
The City of Brotherly Love.
She was in 2 seasons of The Walking Dead. She was in Pretty Little Liars.
Okay.
She's also been in Santa Clarita Diet.
Uh-oh.
Her name is Sydney Park.
Sydney Park. All right.
Sydney Park.
Is she Vietnamese?
No.
Because Park is like a Vietnamese last name.
That's racist.
Or maybe it's Korean. A Korean last name. All right. So, Chelsea, do you have anything to say about these?
No.
No?
No. Good picks.
You like them all.
Yeah.
You're on board with everything we've said.
Pretty much.
All right. So next up, we've got the role of King George, correct?
Yes.
King George was played by Robert Doqui. He was 39 at the time. And like I said, he was in RoboCop. He was in Nashville and Shortcuts. He was also in Miracle Mile. Sean, who's your pick for King George?
So we're starting with King George?
Well, we didn't start with
him. Well, I mean, number two is King George, not...
We did Pam Grier. Oh, so, Booker Bradshaw's next. Howard Brunswick.
There we go.
Go with it.
Okay. So the politician, the corrupt politician.
Right.
My guy is...
75 now.
No. He's 29 years old. So I went a little younger.
Okay.
On that.
Booker was 33 at the time. 33,
yeah. Now you threw me off when you're talking about
King George. Yeah, I screwed that up. It's okay.
It's good. So this guy has been in Ingrid Goes West.
Oh, I like that movie.
Love that movie.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters, coming up soon.
Yes.
Den of Thieves. And
I haven't seen Den of Thieves.
And Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton.
It's the son of one Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson Jr.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. is a perfect pick for that.
I love it.
That is so good, dude. That is so good. All right, so I hate to follow that, but I'm going to go with an actor who was in The Hunger Games. He was in The Spectacular Now. He was also in Runner Runner, and he's on a TV show called Shades of Blue with J-Lo?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's...
His name is Deo Okuniyi. Deo Okuniyi.
All right. I'm feeling you. I don't know the guy.
I don't either. In fact, he keeps emailing me, and I'm like, I don't know you.
Yo, man. When are you going to put me on your recast?
Wow. All right.
You finally caved.
next up for real this time.
King George. Now, King George is your stereotypical...
Quintessential
pimp.
Yeah.
Straight on with the cane and the loud...
So, his outfit with the yellow and black, you could see the influence of that color scheme in Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill.
Okay. I got you. I'm feeling it. By the way, this second beer is way better than the Palmetto. Yeah. Yeah, you need to get some of that.
The Epic? I think I have some.
You do.
Epic Coffee Stout.
It's the Son of a Baptist.
Son of a Baptist Coffee Stout.
There you go.
We're liking this one.
Yes. All right, so this actor is going to be 33 in a couple of weeks. He's okay. from New Orleans, Louisiana. He was in The Get Down.
Oh, yeah. I like The Get Down.
He's also going to be in the upcoming Watchmen TV series.
Is Shaolin Fantastic?
No, I've already cast him.
Okay.
He's going to be in the Watchmen TV series coming up on HBO.
Okay.
And he's going to be, I think he's going to be Candyman in the new Candyman movie.
Oh.
But he was most,
I know who you got.
People will most recently know him from the Aquaman film.
Yep.
He was Black Manta.
Yep.
It's Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
Yeah,
the
he's
second.
The man. He's the fucking man, and he would be great in this. He would be a pimp in every sense of the word. All right, so my next pick, right? We're going on to the next one? One by one, and we're on to the next one.
Your King George.
My King George is going to be an actor who was in Kenan and Kel. He was also in Good Burger.
Oh, no. Oh,
he was also in a movie called All That and another movie called Game Shakers. His name is Kel Mitchell.
Oh, my.
Kel like, Mitchell coming back.
Listen, before Dana nails you, yeah. All That and Game Shakers are not movies. They're TV shows.
All right. That's cool.
I'm just.
That's cool. I'm
just
fine with that.
You.
Thank
just
you.
Just telling you.
Look at that photo of King George.
Yeah.
That is just.
He's
Do
pimping.
You want to know who
He's
I would pimping. Recast?
Who yes. would you recast?
George Takei.
Perfect.
Classic Philip.
All right, so we got one more, right?
Yeah.
One more. We've got Arturo Vetroni, who was the mob boss who's interlinked with all of this bullshit prostitution / drug running shit. And he was 54 at the time. Alan Arbus played him. Alan Arbus, as I mentioned, was also in MASH, The Electric Horseman, and America Sean. And speaking of, Sean, would you please give me your pick?
Yeah, I wasn't really feeling this pick, so I hope yours is better than mine.
It's definitely better
good,
than yours.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear it. This actor is an acclaimed British actor,
mm-hmm.
which I thought would be an odd
Tom Hiddleston.
Thing. No. He was
Benedict Cumbersnatch.
He was in Shallow Grave. He was okay. in G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. He was in Thor, The Dark World. He was also one
Tom Hiddleston.
He was also one of the doctors in Doctor Who. It's Christopher Eccleston.
No.
No.
Nobody knows who that is.
He was the first doctor in the reboot of the Doctor Who series.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody knew who that is.
People know who Chris Eccleston is, trust me.
All right. So, we've recast all of the roles. I want to give a shout out to Jeremy for buying me shots earlier that put me in the very fluid state.
I was wondering
that
what
I've
happened.
Been in for the entirety of this podcast. My Arturo Vetroni is going to blow your fucking mind.
Okay, I'm ready.
He's 62 now.
Okay.
He was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He was in The Big Lebowski.
Oh, good.
He's also in Fading Gigolo.
Good.
His name is John Turturro.
Awesome. Good
John
pick.
John Turturro.
That's
wins
perfect.
The recast of that role.
I agree. That is a perfect pick.
Very nice. All right, so does that wrap us up on coffee?
Yeah.
I think we got to switch to decaf.
Boom. The Punisher.
All right, so, and also, we want to do what?
Let's do our Battle Royale.
Battle Royale! It's the Woo-hoo. Final bonus segment in which we pit three figures against each other. It's a battle to the death.
And I have no idea who you're going to throw out there.
Yeah, you have no idea. You have no idea.
I have no idea.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
Okay.
It's a battle between Pam Grier, Judy Greer, and David Alan Greer. So who's going to win? Chelsea, as the guest, you should go first.
Judy Greer.
Judy Greer's going to win. Why?
What is her character on Archer?
Oh, she's the country singer.
She's Charlene.
She's Charlene or Cheryl or
she's Shirley, like the annoying
or whatever they call her on every different episode. That yeah. One of the jokes is they say her name wrong.
Yeah, I don't know her name, but because of that, she's gonna win.
All right,
and
Sean?
And Arrested Development. She survived all those seasons. No. Hands down, Pam Grier.
Pam Grier?
She's just a badass. All I'm right. Sorry. I can't even fathom a reason or a scenario where David Allen Greer?
David Allen Greer is going to come at you with that In Living Color.
See, I'm like picturing him in his prime, which would be the In Living Color mm-hmm. era. And no, I don't see it. Pam Grier all the way.
All right. We all disagree. I'm going Done. David Allen Greer. You're wow. going Pam Grier. You're going Judy Greer.
Yep.
Oh shit!
No, why do you say David Allen Greer?
Because he's going to bring that In Living Color.
Okay, he's just going to have him in stitches with laughter.
Yes,
I get it.
Absolutely, and stitches from wounds that he inflicts with his knife.
Oh my god!
Oh, too good, too good.
Awesome. All right, so thank you.
That's it.
All right, thank you, Chelsea, for being here, Chelsea Brown. Thank you for doing what you do. You went above and beyond being here tonight.
I wasn't even supposed to be here.
I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
You're welcome.
It's my day off. We do want to plug the podcast itself. We want to say, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or Pandora or Spotify or whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us on. We're also hosted natively on Podbean, podbean.com. We are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. Please tweet at us. And also our Facebook is facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. And we're also on Untappd. The beers that we drank today, the beers that we so graciously checked in, will be checked in on Untappd. And I also want to thank the engineer, the co-host, the producer, Lil Thanos. Thank you for doing what you do.
It's a pleasure.
What is next week's episode, sir?
Next week's episode, we are going to be talking about the films of, trying to remember.
Stacy Keach.
That's right.
Stacy Keach. In celebration of his upcoming 78th birthday, the films of Stacy Keach. So, if you listen to this podcast, if you're listening right now, you're about to get a clue, or actually just straight up an answer for a second round question in trivia. That's right answers with wrong Travis. And so your question and answer is, in 1984, Keach was arrested at Heathrow Airport by London police. He proceeded to plead guilty to and served 6 months at Reading Prison for possession of what?
PCP.
Incorrect.
Cocaine.
Cocaine is correct.
Woo!
Nailed it. So if you are a trivia participant, you should definitely be listening to the show because we've already informed you that that's the way it works. Beyond that, we just want to go ahead and get to the end of my list of things.
Just stop the podcast.
We want to say farewell to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in on your radios. And please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit,
and tip your coffee.